Hello, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano. We hope to bring you interesting topics and guests. We are broadcasting from 101.5 FM, WHRULP, your Huntley Community Radio Station. My guest today, Natalie Zuemba. Natalie's a resident of Woodstock and has lived there since 2019. She's an active member of the Rotary Club of Woodstock, volunteers her time with both that organization and a myriad of other capacities, including an advocate and ambassador with the Alzheimer's Association. Natalie, welcome to Around Town.
Thank you for having me. How are you?
Fine. You want to tell us about what you've been doing, the work on Alzheimer's, and how that all came about?
Sure. So I'm going to make one minor correction before we get started, because it's oft confused. It's Zuemba. So, yeah.
Like rumba.
Yeah, Zuemba.
Okay, we got it.
Yeah, so I have been involved with the Walk to End Alzheimer's. This will be my 10th year. And I've been volunteering with the Alzheimer's Association of Illinois in some way or another for about 8 years. So it really all came about when my father was diagnosed with Alzheimer's in 2010. So we had been noticing some changes in my father's behavior, memory issues, things with like his eating habits, vocalization, verbalization. And finally, as is oft the case, compelled he and my mother to finally go to the doctor and get a true diagnosis, which is when they did a brain scan and they discovered that there was some cognitive loss and there was some brain mass loss in the frontal lobe. So he was put on a series of medications, which did help with symptoms a little bit, but it is a progressive disease, which means it's never, ever going to get better. Nobody who is ever diagnosed with Alzheimer's ever survives. So it is a death sentence, to put it grimly, but it's true. So after the diagnosis in 2010, we sort of came together as a family to put a care plan in action, which meant keeping him at home for care in place as long as possible. So it was my three older brothers, my mom, myself, all chipping in to sort of help out. And then in 2017, my dad had a little bit of a health scare, which landed him in the hospital. And that was what really compelled the move into a nursing facility, because at that point we realized it was just too difficult to keep him at home. It's a lot of very, very specialized care. And it puts the caregivers into an awkward and very taxing predicament, both physically and mentally. It puts a lot of stress on families, and then we can also get into the huge financial burden as well. But he was placed into a nursing home, and that's really where I began to explore my time with him much differently. The roles reverse. I became the caregiver. My brothers, my mom all became caregivers of my dad as well when he was at home and both in the nursing home. And that's when I really started recording my time with my dad. So you've likely seen a lot of my photographs, the short video that I did, and I began to really use social media as a way to talk about, to show the progression of this disease. Because as I said earlier, it's a death sentence. And I think the more you can show what it looks like, the easier it is, the more open people feel to come in to talk with me about it. So
Natalie, part of your efforts have been the Walk to End Alzheimer's. You want to tell us about that?
Sure. So the walk is really one of the largest, I think it is, according to statistics, the largest fundraising effort nationwide for the Alzheimer's Association. So it is held annually. There are more than 600 communities nationwide that host a walk in their community. It is the world's largest event to raise awareness and funds for the Alzheimer's Association. And that funding goes towards Alzheimer's care, support, and research. And I will give a plug, of course, to the walk. So the easiest way, because I know inevitably I'll get asked, how do I get involved, or tell me more information. So the easiest way to get involved is alz.org. So that's alz.org. And then you'll see a tab at the top that says get involved. So in our local community here in McHenry County, our walk this year is on October 2nd, and it will be held in Crystal Lake. And I don't know the exact location. That's still pending. But it will be here, McHenry County, in Crystal Lake. And that's on October 2nd. So this will be my 10th year participating. And over the course of 10 years, I've raised upwards of $50,000 as an individual. So I'm really proud of my efforts. And I want to keep that going. So
when you do have the walk, Natalie, what's the distance that these people are walking in Crystal Lake?
We call it a 5K, so you're walking just about 3.1 miles. We've done it at Lippold Park in the past, so we've done, you know, a big, giant loop. When I first started doing walk, I did the Chicago walk, and that was on the lakefront at Montrose Harbor. So, yeah, it's just, and it's very leisurely. I mean, this is not like a 5K run or anything. Many people bring friends and family. They, you know, they'll bring their dogs, strollers, wagons, whatever. And it's okay. Just really a walk to remember, you know, those who have passed, to honor those who are still with us, and just to celebrate the life of those that have been diagnosed.
Are there any new things, new horizons with Alzheimer's that are being worked on right now that you're aware of, Natalie?
Oh, my gosh, so many. All right, so first, hot off the presses. This is super exciting, and I'm so glad to share it here. This is, again, hot off the presses from Washington, D.C. Congress agrees on $289 million in Alzheimer's research funding. That is an increase of $289 million. They're making an investment in the Alzheimer's public health infrastructure. So congressional leaders have announced a $289 million increase for Alzheimer's and dementia research funding at the National Institutes of Health, that's the NIH, for fiscal year 2022. The bill also includes $25 million to fund and implement the BOLD Infrastructure for Alzheimer's Act, that is PL115406. So this also goes into a lot of what I do as a volunteer, ambassador, and advocate for the association. It's really working to influence our local and national legislators that are in our local and national governments to pass pieces of legislation like this. And usually the largest ask is increase in funding for NIH. We really need additional dollars. As we know, the population in the U.S. is aging, and as the bubble begins to increase in the number of people 65 and over, that leads to additional diagnosis of Alzheimer's or other dementia, and we really need the National Institutes of Health to put more dollars into research. The brain is a vast mystery, and so without the additional funding for that research, we're sort of left in this moment of just inertia. We're just sort of sitting there. So to compel legislators to pass the additional funding is very, very important. And it's something that I do quite regularly on a monthly basis. I will meet with people like Senators Duckworth and Durbin. I meet with their staff. I send letters to the editor. I will participate in interviews like this on the radio. I've also participated with our congressional staff members as well. So in my district, I speak quite regularly with the staff members at Lauren Underwood's office to help her learn about and be informed about what is coming down the pipeline for the House of Representatives on the national level. And then, of course, on the Illinois side as well, there's very particular bills that we would like to get passed in the State House. So a lot of, you know, working in government, which I'm sort of a a junkie anyway, and love to be able to interface with our local and state and national politicians.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a tough question now.
Yes, please.
When you raise the money, how much money actually goes to the research as opposed to administration?
Yes, great question. Okay, so for Walk to End Alzheimer's, I can speak to that specifically because I know about this in particular. 79% of all of the money raised by Walk goes directly to Alzheimer's care, support, awareness, and advocacy efforts. That's a huge number. 17% goes back into fundraising efforts, and then only 4% is used administratively. So if you look at other nonprofits, you know, sometimes those administrative costs can be excessive, and that's not so in the case of WOC.
Can you tell us how many Americans at this time are suffering from Alzheimer's? Is there a number that's out there?
The stats and figures are staggering. So currently, there are more than 6 million Americans living with Alzheimer's. So those are diagnosed that we know of, that we can track. An estimated 6.2 million Americans that are age 65 and older are living with Alzheimer's or another dementia in 2021. So that's, again, recorded. 72% are age 75 or older. And almost two-thirds of Americans with Alzheimer's are women, which is, a staggering statistic. By the year 2050, this number is projected to rise to nearly 13 million. So as I said earlier, the number of our aging population keeps increasing, and by 2050, we're looking at nearly 13 million diagnosed with Alzheimer's or another dementia.
Have the researchers been able to pinpoint why it's primarily with women, Natalie?
There's been several studies. It's just, you know, it's something medically that I do not have expertise in, but it is an interesting statistic. Part of it could also be the prominence and willingness to actually go and seek out a diagnosis. So it's not necessarily sometimes the thought is they aren't more prevalent to getting dementia or Alzheimer's, but that they are actually the ones getting the diagnosis. So sometimes people could be living with it and they just don't know because they haven't sought out actual medical attention.
When you talk about the financial burden, can you touch a little bit about Natalie, what that financial burden is for those that are in this particular situation?
Yes, so I can speak to it on a very large scale national level. So the numbers in 2021 said that Alzheimer's and other dementias will cost this nation, so the U.S., $355 billion. That's B, billion with a B. By 2050, the cost could rise as high as $1.1 trillion. More than 11 million Americans provide unpaid care for people with Alzheimer's or other dementias, including people like myself and my family members. So think of just that. 11 million Americans right now are caring for somebody in their family or a friend or a neighbor, and they're not getting paid for that. So unpaid care. In 2020, so I'm going to go back 2 years, these caregivers provided an estimated 15.3 billion hours of care that was valued at nearly $257 billion. So if you put a dollar amount on the amount of care, that is staggering. And I would say, now personally, let's get down to a micro level. For families, the concern really is the cost of care, because Medicare sometimes does not step in and do things like long-term care. If you need to go into a facility, it is typically paid out of pocket, and that can be upwards of $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 per month for specialized care. So you start driving around, even in this area, you'll see them sort of getting built. And for beautiful facilities like that, yes, they're lovely, but the cost of care is exorbitant. So,
just a reminder, you're listening to 101.5 FM. Your Huntley Radio Community Station. If you need more information, go to huntleyradio.com and click on Contact Us for more information. We'd be happy to get back to you. Natalie, can you tell me the resources and support, what's needed?
Yeah. Well, the Alzheimer's Association is really, in the nation, the most recognized for giving support, much of it free, advice, care. Concern for caregivers, of course, is a huge issue. As I mentioned before, just the financial, the emotional, the psychological, the physical burden that it can put on families. So the association is there to really provide resources and support for those diagnosed and for the caregivers that are taking care of them. So in our area alone, and of course nationwide, there are multiple support groups. So right now what they're doing is hosting these virtually for now, but my guess, my best estimate is they will go back to being in person sometime soon. There are lots of message boards, and there's a very robust online community of support. Again, all of this can be found at alz.org. There's also a really wonderful, and we utilize this as a family quite often, and it's the place that I tell most people to start. It is the 24/7 helpline. Now, this is a must. Those of you who are thinking about it, or in the back of your mind, you're thinking, maybe my wife or my husband or my aunt or uncle, grandma, grandpa, they may be suffering from Alzheimer's. I'm noticing some changes. My recommendation is to go to the helpline first. It is staffed 24 hours, 7 days a week. And that phone number is 800-272-3900. The phone number again for the helpline, 24/7, 800-272-3900. And again, the website, alz.org, alz.org. Some of the other online resources that I really love, there's an incredibly helpful blog that can be found easily online. There's a wonderful email newsletter that comes out. You can sign up for that, and you can sort of pick and choose. You know, this is actually for me. I have a diagnosis, or this is for me as a caregiver. You sort of select the topics that you want in the newsletter. They also are providing now a care consultation. This is invaluable, and this would be a wonderful place to start. And again, you go to that 800 number, and they can definitely assist you with things like building a team, finding available resources in your area, considering legal or financial issues, resolving safety issues, and exploring changes in your roles and your emotions as really for the caregiver once a diagnosis is given. Another thing I want to mention here in Illinois, which is awesome, is Silver Search. And so this is a national database that is connected with local law enforcement. And this is, they coordinate efforts to help locate anyone who may have wandered. And sometimes as I'm driving into the city, I'll see the billboards above, on I-90 and 94 coming in saying Silver Search warning. So very similar to when you have a child go missing and you have an Amber Alert, the Silver Search alerts will go out. And this is to notify somebody is in danger, and they'll give, a description, or they'll give the last known location, and everybody is sort of pulling together to find. Now, this was not an occurrence. We were very blessed and very lucky that my father was not a wanderer, but also oftentimes, I will hear stories of family members wandering out of the house, and what happens is, the person will leave, they think they know where they're going, and they just get themselves confused, and they don't know how to find their way back. So Silver Search is here to help with that. And then, of course, volunteering. So there's lots of ways to get involved if you want to volunteer, or if you just want to be a participant. Of course, I've mentioned Walk to End Alzheimer's. There is the Longest Day, and then the Chicago area, of course, hosts several events each year, like things like Paint the Night Purple. So that's hosted by the Junior Board. There is a Reason to Hope Luncheon, The Power of Purple, and this is always hosted in June at Galleria Marchetti, and it's hosted by the Illinois Women Conquer Alls. So there's lots of ways to participate.
So Natalie, to contact these folks, how do they go about contacting, like, the Longest Day or Walk to End Alzheimer's?
Yeah, so I would say start definitely with the website, alz.org. All of the resources, everything is very easy to navigate from the top of the page. And they can also call. The helpline is always happy to help people as well, 800-272-3900.
Is there anything out there, Natalie, that gives you an indication of what institutions or what organizations or what pharmaceutical companies or what colleges that are working on cures for Alzheimer's?
Yeah, so I would say it always starts with the NIH. So the National Institute of Health is sort of where everybody goes first. That is who's going to tell us what's on the horizon. And then from there, you sort of see who's working on research studies. Are there case studies happening? And of course, the question everybody wants to know, will there be a cure in our lifetime? That is a vast unknown because, again, the brain is such a mystery. And our study of Alzheimer's and dementia is relatively in its infancy, if you think about it. People used to say, that person's just getting old, they're getting forgetful, or the word senile, you know, would get tossed around. Now we have actual medical terminology for it. And I mean, that in itself is just huge progress. But looking at pharmaceutical companies, medications, right now what we have are medications to treat the symptoms. So the regimen that my father was put on, for example, this treated, almost think of it like an antidepressant. It helped to level out his mood. It helped to relax him. But it didn't do anything for the brain. There's nothing yet that says we have diagnosed this person and we can start them on a regimen of medication to help build back the brain mass that was gone. Because once it is gone, it's gone and there's no bringing it back. So there are ways, we think, to sort of help to ward off Alzheimer's or other dementias, which is vigorous exercise, at least 30 minutes a day to get the heart pumping and get the blood flowing up to the brain. A very balanced, healthy diet, lots of brain activity. So crossword puzzles, reading books, taking part in your community. One of the saddest things to see is once somebody is diagnosed, or even beforehand, you'll start noticing behavioral changes, is retreat from community, retreat from being participatory in events. You'll see social isolation, and that is so, it is very heartbreaking because you don't know necessarily, is it because they don't feel comfortable, they don't know how to keep track of the conversation, or is it something like they may not hear very well, and maybe it's not Alzheimer's or anything like that. It's just they haven't had a hearing test, and they can't participate because they can't hear and keep up with the conversation. So you never really know. So making sure that you're getting those wellness checks, that you have a regular primary care physician that knows your health history, that's very important. So, you know, are there ways to say for sure, I won't ever get Alzheimer's? No, unfortunately, there isn't. There are tests that if it's prevalent in your family, there are certain ways that you can get tested to see. But there, again, there's no guarantee. You know, I might have a prevalence because of my father, but do I want to actually get the test that tells me? Yeah, maybe, but would it really be a guarantee that I would or wouldn't get it? No, but I'm trying to keep myself very active, very healthy. As you know, I participate in a lot of activities. I'm a really busy woman. I do tons of volunteerism, both with the Alzheimer's Association. Obviously, I'm a member of Woodstock Rotary. So I'm very, you know, busy with community service. I have a huge, wide, vast range, a circle of friends that I keep busy with. I'm always on the move. I rarely sit. I'm rarely still. So I just try to keep as active as I possibly can. I could be living with Alzheimer's right now and just don't know it because I'm not manifesting. I'm not showing any of those symptoms yet. But by the time a person, here's another statistic, Ron. By the time somebody is diagnosed, they've likely been living with it for 15 years. Wow. So if you're diagnosed at 65 because symptoms are showing themselves, you probably really had it when you were in your late 40s or early 50s.
That's really interesting. I don't think people realize that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Natalie, what about there's a drug that was introduced, mm-hmm. very, very expensive. Then the price was lowered with government pressure. But supposedly is supposed to stop Alzheimer's from advancing. But I don't know yet if that's been a proven drug. It's been talked about, but I don't think it's had the track record that it needs to have.
You're exactly right. So when the announcement was made in 2021 of the release of the drug, everybody got very excited. Finally, something that will help us treat Alzheimer's. Well, one, it was so expensive. So then finally, I believe Medicare negotiations started happening, and that sort of helped to lower the cost. Two, it's just not long enough yet. So we want to see studies that have happened, and we want to see patients taking medication for 5, 10, 15, 20 years before we can really say for certain, yes, this is effective in the treatment of actual Alzheimer's or dementia. So yes, this is exciting. It's a huge development. I was joyful in the announcement, just like everybody else. And then I had to take a minute to step back and say, okay, I know better. Let's not get too excited too early. And, you know, I don't want to celebrate too soon. So in a couple of years, I think we can look back and say, okay, now what has the research shown us? And what have patients that have been on the medication, what is that proving out?
Well, when they introduce a drug like that, don't they have some background information that they've done some testing, though, Natalie?
Of course. So it has been, of course, in clinical trials. There's been tons of research done. But once you actually start administering it to patients in a wide variety, a wide range, and it is being distributed widely and you have many people taking it, this is going to be the true test. At a, like a national level, let's see what proves out. I want to see this all sort of shake out in the right way.
Well, it's something that we should all be aware of and something that we should really take heed to. And you've given us a lot of information today, Natalie. Thank you so much for that. There's a lot of documentation there, a lot that we found out about. And we want to thank you for sharing your time with us today and telling us all about, you know, your past and your dad and what you're doing right now. And remind everybody that we're on 101.5 FM, WHRULP, your Huntley Community Radio Station. And remember, go to huntleyradio.com and click on Contact Us. And if you have any questions or want to submit questions, want to know more about Alzheimer's, send us an email, contact us, let us know, and we'll certainly get that information back to you. In the meantime, Natalie, thank you so much. Have a good day, and thank you, folks.
Thanks for having me. We'll be right back.